would you hire a wedding singer if you've never heard them sing? It's that. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And it's really, you know, if somebody's going to pay you, let's say, for example, £300 a day to design a course, they want assurance that that £300 a day is going to the right person.
If you've got a skill, if you've got a talent, and you're looking to use that to the best of its potential to help you earn some money, whether it's something you do for your current day job or even on the side, then the temptation of becoming a full-time freelancer is a real prospect. In this week's episode, we're going to be speaking with John Hinchcliffe, who you may recognise from a previous episode, which we'll link in the show notes. But John has recently moved into a position where he helps out with a company who support freelancers do exactly that. John shares with us his knowledge, his advice on things to watch out for if you are considering that jump, but equally he shares on how you can build a portfolio if you're just coming around to the idea of freelancing, alongside networking best practices and so much more. So if you haven't already, grab a notebook and a pen, because this one is going to be jam-packed with tips, tricks and advice to help you on your path to getting work savvy. So hi to John and welcome to the Get Work Savvy podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me back.
Awesome. Yeah, no, absolute pleasure to speak to you once again and to briefly catch up a second ago on how you're getting on. But for the listener, if they haven't caught your first episode, which we'll link down in the show notes, could you just give us a brief idea about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, sure thing. So John Hinchcliffe, I've been in learning and development for about 12 years now. So starting out face-to-face, started in banking, then moved through to digital learning and really found a love for digital learning. So from that, I then progressed into instructional design management with a large digital learning agency. In there, I won an industry award, served on the board of directors for the eLearning Network, which is one of the biggest not-for-profits in the industry. And then I went freelance. So within digital learning, I was helping out academic institutes. So then making moves in terms of systems. But then also I made a move out to the United Arab Emirates. So helping out one of the big universities there, helping out their faculty. So looking at moving from face-to-face to digital to blended and all that good stuff. So recently spent 18 months out there, having a really great time, and recently moved back to the UK. And been joining in all the good fun times with an organization called Jampan, which is an incredible organization that helps freelancers find work with incredible clients. So really across that L&D sphere, from instructional designers, graphic designers, UI, UX, and all the good stuff in between. So bringing them together with great projects and really having that great bespoke service. So doing that, won Learning Professional of the Year 2020 Silver Award at the LPI Awards. And then next year, I'm up for COVID Champion at the LPI Awards for all the good work that I've been doing during COVID to help people feel a little bit less alone. So as brief as it is, that's me.
Yeah, I appreciate you, you squeezing that all into a short little summary there, because you are certainly a busy man and also have done some absolutely amazing things since we last spoke. It was impressive speaking to you last time, but man, you've upped your game. So yeah, massive congratulations on all you've achieved. And I love to see the ambition and all the ideas that you have and the progress that you've made, because you have been making absolute waves, especially with recently the networking that you've been supporting people with. So we'll come on to that a little bit later. But I just wanted to cover in this episode a little bit about, perhaps go a little bit deeper than perhaps we might have done last time in regards to those steps to go into in more of the freelance world and why you kind of made those decisions, and if there was any advice that you might have for people who are considering to do something similar if they're in that position at the moment.
Yeah, sure thing. I mean, for me, this was back in, goodness, it was very late 2018. And for me, it was really about looking at what did I want to do with my career? What did I want to do that would make me happy? And that was a massive thing for me. I mean, it wasn't that I was drastically unhappy in my job, but I just thought life could be more interesting if I really chose my own path. And so it was really about me spending the time and really looking at what did I want to do? What skills did I want to expand upon? Because when you're in a particular job, you can be restrained and you can find that you're not really able to do all the stuff that you want to do. So it was really trying to figure out what areas did I want to explore? What did I want to venture into? But also just not having regrets. I think that's a massive one is, you know, we're all getting older. It happens every day. And I think it's that thing of being able to really manage that risk, you know. And for me, I was in a fortunate position whereby I'd saved up enough money and I had assistance, you know, from, ironically, from Jampan, who I'm now working with. But it really was understanding what could I do? Where are my skills? What can I offer? And really making that leap. So for me, at that freelancing point, that was really making that leap and really trying to choose my own destiny with what I wanted to do and the skills that I wanted to develop. So that for me was a really incredible experience. I learned a lot about business. I learned a lot about myself. And yeah, I think it can really help people if they're in that position where they're in a rut. You know, they want to explore, they want to develop, and it can just be a gateway to them.
Mm. I think that's from like other podcasts that I've listened to and other experiences of people who've done similar thing. I think that's a big factor, isn't it, that plays into people's decision making in that is that they give that more, that they get the license of the decisions that they make and the direction that they go. And it's not necessarily that they're just playing part of the instrument to the larger tune that the organization that they're working for. So fantastic. So you said there you learned a lot about business. Was there anything that took you by surprise that perhaps you hadn't have imagined being perhaps so tough? Or was it just something that you completely overlooked?
Accounting was a biggie for me. And I'll admit it, I'm very fortunate that my wife is an accountant. So she was able to help me with that. And just understanding where can you get relief, you know, in terms of the funds that you're actually bringing in, but also thinking about tax, you know, having to think about your pension, national insurance, you know, all these different contributions, which as a full-time employee, you really don't think about. You know, obviously, whenever you get your salary, you see, you know, PAYE, national insurance, you know, being taken out. But when it comes to it, it's you and you're accountable, you have to really have that realization. Also, the biggest shocker is that first month, because you're on a 30-day payment, you don't get paid that first month, which is,
yeah,
it is petrifying because you're so used to just, you know, I do my month, I get paid at the end of the month, happy days. But with this, it's, I, you know, I've worked for the clients, I've done my time, I've submitted my timesheets, but I've got to wait a month for that money to come in. So, you know, you do get a little bit worried with your bank account because obviously, you know, you're paying out for, at that time, traveling. So I was traveling from Leeds to Manchester every day, you know, and it is a bit of a shock to the system. So I think it's trusting the path and just, it's really great having somebody who's there, who's bought in to your, you know, plan, to your goal, because doing it on your own can be tricky. And sometimes it gets, you know, it does get worrying, but yeah, just talking to the ones that you love and just getting them on board is a massive thing.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, definitely having the buy-in of the people closest to you. So you can have those open and honest conversations, potentially some support if it like you go through some tougher months. I'd imagine I'm not in that space, so I can't speak from experience. But did you have kind of what they call a runway? Did you have kind of some cash in the bank just pre you diving in, or did you just go in like kind of feet first?
So thankfully I had what would be a month's wage. So I'd saved up. So with kind of the run up to it, I lived quite frugally. So I was like, look, this is going to happen. I need to be prepared. So this was me talking to Jampan and, you know, just asking for that advice. You know, if I'm going to be doing this, what do I need to bear in mind? And so a big one for them was, look, have that cash for that first month taken care of. You know, just figure out how much you really need and have it there. So that was something that I had in place. But also, I didn't make that leap until I got a contract in place. So that was a big thing for me. Rather than make the move and then figure out about getting clients. It was, whilst I'm still in my full-time employment, have those discussions with Jampan, with other people, and just get that first client in place. There was, I'm very thankful, it was a 3-month initial contract. So I knew that, okay, when I make this move, then I'm straight into this. So I'm not going to have like fallow periods and those kinds of things. So yeah, really that was my runway, and understanding what was I going to provide. That was another thing. So rather than saying I'm going to be X, I'm going to be Y, I'm going to be this, that, it's the stuff that I know that I'm great at and that I know that I can deliver. Because that's another thing. You don't want to be venturing into freelancing on something that you aspire to be, because people are paying good money and they don't really want to pay for you to learn how to do something. So that was a biggie.
Yeah, I think that's I think sometimes I've heard the phrase fake it till you make it.
Oh yeah.
and I think that's quite dangerous, isn't it? Especially if you're going into that freelance gig and you're learning with somebody else's cash, essentially.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I certainly would be a bit more uncomfortable than that. I've never really kind of bought into that idea. So I think that's some top advice. I think Jade, who I've had on the podcast as well, she always mentioned about the zone of genius. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about there, isn't it? Just sticking into your lane and knowing what it is that you're offering and what you're doing, and not necessarily getting tempted with something slightly off course. But yeah, fantastic advice there, and thank you for that. I love the idea as well that Jampan kind of give out that advice, and because it's not something that I wouldn't necessarily associate with kind of like a freelance agency, like them actually caring about you as the person and being honest and saying like, look, figure out that first month's worth of wages. Is that something that now that you're working for them, you've kind of experienced that is a standard practice that goes on, you looking out for the people?
Yeah, I mean, for Jampan, we're person-centric, you know, person first, you know, because it's okay having, I mean, we have 1,000 freelancers, which is an incredible amount, but it's understanding them as individuals rather than them just being a number. Because at the end of the day, you know, we really care about that relationship between the client and the freelancer. And for us, it's really getting to know both parties, you know, getting to know their personalities, what works well. And also it's us really caring about the individual, because, hey, you might have a 9-month contract with this particular client. Okay, please think about when you're going to take a break, because doing 9 months work flat out, 5 days a week, you're going to burn out. And then what's the result on you? And that's something that we're really conscious of is, you know, burnout is a real thing. And what happens if, you know, you have done that flat out work for 9 months? Fantastic. You've earned good money. But then what happens if you are so drained and you are mentally, you know, distraught from that, because, you know, you're absolutely exhausted? What happens if you're out for another 6 months? Mm-hmm. You know, so all that good work is undone because you didn't have a break. So really for us, it's taking that care, having those conversations, really caring about people. But also the people that are thinking about getting to the industry or that are brand new, really for me, it's about providing the resources. You know, so I take care of talent. I'm talent manager at Jampan. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's really, what resources can we provide people? How can we give you insight from people that are experienced, that are successful at being a freelancer in the roles that you're looking to do, to really give you the information that's going to make that difference? Maybe it's the things that you didn't think about, because maybe you did a Google search and it was all rosy. Okay, one thing I show you is the not so rosy things that you need to think about. Because unfortunately, that's the reality of it. You know, being a freelancer is cool. You know, you can earn good money, but also at the same time, there is competition. And also you need to provide insight into what you can actually do. I have a lot of people who come to me and say, oh, I do X, Y, Z, but I can't show you my portfolio because it's full of stuff that's covered by an NDA. Okay, that doesn't work, because let's say, for example, would you hire a wedding singer if you've never heard them sing? It's that, you know.
Yeah.
It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And it's really, you know, if somebody's going to pay you, let's say, for example, £300 a day to design a course, they want assurance that that £300 a day is going to the right person.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
a massive thing for me, and especially 2021, is how many resources can we provide people so that it makes that particular journey into freelancing easier? So, okay, you can't provide anything because you've got NDAs and you're stuck for creativity. Let's give you resources that are going to help you. Let's actually give you a project, a mock project to create for. Also, let's give you guidance as to where you can host that. Because if you're in an organization, you hosting your content is not really something you have to think about. So it's really, it's how much of a helping hand can I provide? And also us as Jampan to really take away a lot of the stress, but also give you the best start.
That's phenomenal. I love that because, like you say, I think that people look on that freelance life and it's really attractive and they hear all the positives, but not necessarily all the negatives. And well, not necessarily negatives, but the things that you don't want to think about, or the, you know, what ifs.
The considerations, and, yeah.
I love the point that you make there as well. Like sometimes people are tied up and they're not able to share their examples. And of course, if you're like I love the wedding singer scenario there, it's going to be something that they're going to want to see. So yeah, fantastic advice on that. Is there something that, like, for freelancers in the field, are there like some top tips that you would share with them of best practices from a Jampan point of view, or from your own experiences of things that they need to do to perhaps promote what it is that they do? Or does Jampan take care of that? How does that work?
Yeah, so with Jampan, we provide them with a profile on our platform. So the platform allows clients who are registered with ourselves, who are vetted, allow them to actually search individuals and view their profiles. But also me as an individual, whereby we have large corporate clients, will say to us, look, we need a great articulate storyline developer, or we need somebody who is incredible at graphic design. And so it's having that profile populated with information and, you know, portfolio examples that really show you at your best. So, I mean, great things to show is, how do you do, for example, for developers, instructional designers, developers, how do you do compliance well? So how do you take something that we know is dry as a biscuit? How do you make it engaging? But also talk about the learning experience that surrounds that. So not just here is something that I've developed, but also how does this link up? Because another thing that I think about, so obviously I come at this from an L&D practitioner point of view. How does that fit in with the experience of a worker? So we're fallible as human beings. We forget. We know this. You know, we can put our hands up and we can go, you know what? Yes, I forget stuff. The health and safety training that I did in January, I'm not going to really remember which fire hose to use when a fire breaks out on my keyboard in October. So how does that piece of compliance, how does that piece of learning fit in with the experience of, let's say, for example, training at the point of need? So when somebody needs that information, how does that fit in? Talk about your experience. Maybe provide a case study of when you have integrated something. So it's really being able to show more than just the course. It's being able to show more about you. What is your methodology? What is your thinking? Who are you? Because that's a differentiator. So I think, you know, look at compliance. Also look at something that you're interested in. Maybe even a hobby. Let's say, for example, you're really into CrossFit. Just a 5 to 10 minute course on, let's say, for example, how to correctly do a deadlift. You know, how do you create that? How do you take material that is out there in the world? How do you put it across? How do you make it visually engaging? When would somebody use this? Is it mobile first? What development tool did you utilize? What would be the output? So it's, you know, it's really thinking about you as an individual and how can you bring that across? Because the crazy thing might be that, you know, somebody who is L&D manager for Adidas might need somebody who is, you know, a great developer. They're into CrossFit as well because Adidas owns Reebok and Reebok owns CrossFit pretty much. That correlation, how does it come together? So I think that's a big thing to look at.
I love the idea as well. I saw an example of from a developer, Kath Ellis, that you shared the other day. And I really loved her Loom video of, I think it was the Fallout. And I'll try and find that and I'll put it in the description for people to check out. But I loved the idea that she built that resource, but she talked us through the concept to the storyboarding, to the actually putting the resources on there and explaining, you know, why she'd made the decisions that she'd made. And I think that's no matter your industry, whether it's e-learning or whether you're a videographer or whatever it is that you're trying to get into, I think having that piece of evidence of you explaining the decisions that you've made and the background to that, I thought that was a wonderful resource. Go on.
I mean, Kath, for me, Kath Ellis is the level. When it comes to, you know, L&D, she is incredible. And I saw her present that at DevLearn, a demo fest. And I can say this, you know, I welled up. I was sat at the table. There was me, there was like 12 people sat, and she was talking through, and I welled up with tears of pride. Not only because I love Kath, she's a great friend of mine, because she's incredible, but because this really is the level for me that we should really be playing at. And she was talking through, and it wasn't any kind of cloak and daggers or anything about that, of just being secretive, because what happens if somebody pinches it? She was saying, look, you know, I use Envato Elements here. I utilize this. This is why I did this. This was my thinking. I think it was just this massive gold mine of information, and rightly so, it won at Demo Fest because it was incredible. But it's also the fact, you know, like you said, she's just talking through it, making it open to everybody to understand, how did she do it? What software did she utilize? What elements did she utilize? And kind of one of the coolest things, and nobody else will have seen this, was, so after Demo Fest, so there's me, Kath Ellis, and there was Kate Pasterfield from Sponge, all just chatting, and I was telling Kate about how cool this was that Kath made. And Kath was like, do you want me to show you? And Kate, you know, great L&D professional, she was like, yeah. So we were there at what used to be the phone banks in the casino, and she just whipped out a laptop and she was talking it through. And I thought, that for me is, that's L&D at its finest.
I just I love that point as well about not having that cloak and dagger and, oh, I'm going to keep my secrets over here, and if you want this, you're going to have to hire me. I think that ability to share amongst the community is fantastic. And something that I want to come onto as well, because you have been making some absolute huge waves in supporting people in networking. And I know, especially in the times that we're living in at the moment, where people haven't necessarily been able to get together face to face, whether that's because of the whole pandemic or whether that's because they're not in the same country. Yeah. I think that what you're doing with your networking events is absolutely marvelous idea. And I'm so pleased to hear that they're being such a successful to help people in various ways. But just in case people are thinking, oh, I can't network at the moment, because I'm in lockdown or because of the pandemic, or I'm just not so sure I really want to be doing that at the moment, what tips and advice do you have about networking remotely and how you can get involved with those kind of things?
I think one of the craziest things is, even though we're in isolation, we're in one of the most amazing times that we'll ever experience. We have so much opportunity. The internet has given us such an incredible voice that we can talk to anyone anywhere in the world, as long as they've got an internet connection. And that was a massive thing for me with the GLAAD community. So Global L&D was, I used to do face-to-face meetups in the UAE for free, which was unheard of when I moved over there, because everything is, you have to pay for it. And that for me, it just is not right. You know, why should you be restricted to meeting people who, you know, you might have something really great in common, you might become best friends. Why are you restricted by money? So I started those for free. Those grew and grew and grew. And then COVID hit. And then it got me thinking, well, why don't we just push this out on Zoom, because why would it just be restricted to the UAE? So put it on my LinkedIn. And, you know, this is a really big thing to kind of put as a point. LinkedIn is your best friend right now. Yeah, LinkedIn is your voice. It is your personal brand. It is your insight. It is your way of talking to the world. And really, if you're looking to do anything in your career, you really have to double down on LinkedIn. So with LinkedIn, you know, I'm really quite blessed. I have like 6,500 followers, and I just try and bring as much value as possible. And so I said, look, if anybody wants to join in on this, join me. I'll put on this Zoom. And the first one, we had like 30 people, which was incredible. You know, we had like Canada, US, India, had some people in Australia up until like 2 a.m. But then if you do, you know, if you bring people value and you're good about it and you're transparent, people talk about it. And that's been the thing. I mean, this has been going 6 months. We've had over 600 people have joined us. We have some regulars. We have people that have hired people from the actual meetings. So people have become friends. People in Toronto have actually gotten together and had coffee and had beers together. So there's like little splinter groups. But it's also that thing of the biggest feedback I get is the help with mental health. Because it's such a difficult time for people. You know, if you are away from your family, if you're on your own, and it can feel like you are super on your own. And I am incredibly thankful that I am such a positive person, and that also I live with my wife, who is wonderful and keeps me sane. But it's for those people that are not able to, that are on their own, and that just need somebody to reach out to. And so at the time of this recording, you know, we're just on a little run up to Christmas. I'm actually hosting a meetup on Christmas Day. So I'm taking time away from, you know, being with my family, because I want people to have somebody that they can just have a joke with, that they can have a smile with, you know, that they can wear a bad Christmas jumper with. Because even though we're in isolation, doesn't mean that we have to be on our own. And that's the biggest thing for me. So I'm thankful for it. And it just keeps on growing and growing. And I've had to grow the Zoom subscription because we ran over the 100 people. So yeah, it's crazy.
I think, like I said, it's a wonderful thing you're doing. And you know, for those people who aren't fortunate enough to be surrounded by family and loved ones, I think that's an excellent kind of opportunity for them to have somebody just to say, hey, how you doing? And it's not just bad TV and take out to get them through. So yeah, no, wonderful, John. And I think what you mentioned there as well, like having that opportunity to speak to people, and you never know where that conversation is going to take you. I think just giving people your time just to find out a little bit about what they do is fantastic. And I know that I've certainly sprung across quite a few new people on LinkedIn who aren't necessarily in the same industry that you and I work in, but they're welders or whatever it is that they're doing. And just kind of taking the time in the messages once like you've connected or whatever, just to say, hey, I love the idea of what you do, but I don't really understand it, what you're up to. It just kind of opens the door and kind of gets them a bit more comfortable with being on the platform, because I think it's a hell of a resource, an opportunity for you to demonstrate what you're doing as well. So I think that networking is, unfortunately, it's not the same as it used to be, but still, luckily, as you said, internet has provided us with that excellent opportunity.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we talk about networking, it's something that I make really clear to people is that there's no selling. Yeah, that's rule number one, which throws people. I mean, I have like business development managers and sales managers contact me beforehand and say, look, this is what I do in my job. Can I still come along? And I say, of course you can. You can meet people, but don't sell. This is not what it's about. It's about having a genuine interest in people. And the crazy thing is, when you actually take an interest in people, you're going to do way better in sales because you know whether they're right for you, you know, and also they might lead you to somebody, you know. It's incredible. And, you know, it's like you said, people that you might never really speak to, just a random conversation can take you down such an incredible route in life. And so talking to, you know, Gary the locksmith might in some weird way in 3 years' time find you that perfect house that you've always been looking for. So yeah, it's that incredible thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm thankful for you picking up and talking to me today, and really, really great advice and tips from you, from yourself. I'm going to leave links in all the show notes on how to get in touch with yourself, John, because you are an absolute whirlwind and super busy, and especially with the GLAAD networking group. If you are interested, I highly recommend you go and checking that out. But just wanted to say thanks so much to you tonight, John, and look forward to keeping in touch and speaking soon.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me back.